We're in week two of our series, Pray Always, and Brian did a great job last week talking about kind of what prayer is and looking specifically at the prayer of Jabez. And I just want to put my cards on the table as we enter week two of this series. My natural mode, and I think like a lot of us, is to think about, okay, great, I'm going to become a better prayer warrior out of this, right? Like how do I get better at prayer, right? Like I want the how-tos, I want the applications. I want to come out of this better than when I entered it, right? That's how I enter a series often. But as I was preparing for this message, I felt like it was the Lord's gentle reminder of like, this is today more than about applying something and becoming like Jedi master of prayer. This is about a receiving thing today, okay? So I want to start with that posture of, I hope that what we're going to talk about today, that we would receive it with some fresh eyes and some fresh ears, maybe for the first time in a long time, because I believe what God has to say today, honestly, it can change your life and it can change your prayer life. And so with that being said, I want to pray with that in mind, if we don't mind. So Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the fact that you woke us up. You put breath in our lungs. You made the sun rise this morning. And somehow you've made it possible that we get to be part of your mission here on earth. And God, I don't fully understand that, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful that you see us, Lord. I ask that this morning that you would speak to us in a personal, powerful way, and that we leave here different than we entered. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all ready? All right, you know with me, you better like get your stretches on, you know what I mean? Because I'm gonna make y'all do something. No one left yet. Okay, here we go. So we're talking about prayer and what is prayer and how to pray. And I think if we're going to talk about, we're looking at specific prayers in scripture and kind of how do we live these out? How does it get fleshed out? And I thought, well, who's better to look at their prayer than Jesus, right? It's who we're here to celebrate. And we want to look at one of his prayers, one that he prayed for the church. And so if you're with, I have a Bible, you can turn with me. It'll be on the screen as well. John 17. We're going to be picking this up in verse 18 and 19. As a little context, this is Jesus praying for his disciples, okay? So in verse 18 says this, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world," meaning his disciples. "For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." This is hours before Jesus is going to go to the cross, and he is praying for his disciples, those he's been pouring into for years. And he says, "Lord, as I sanctify myself, would you sanctify them fully?" And this is amazing. And sanctify, that's a churchy word. Like a lot of the times you're like, yeah, I know what that means. I know what that word means. But if I say, what does it really mean? You're like, I have no idea, right? So I'm gonna help you out right now. Sanctify is this word of it's a consecration word, but it means like to be set apart. And so what Jesus is laying out, it's a picture of the gospel. He says, I'm going to lay my life down. I'm gonna set my will down, Father, for the will and for your will on behalf of all of my disciples. It's a beautiful picture of who Jesus is, right? He lays his life down for those who have followed him. He's gonna lay his life down as a physical offering for the sin that you and I committed and pay for that price of sin once and for all. That's who Jesus is. If you don't hear anything else I say today, that's who Jesus is. That's why we make a big deal out of him in this room, right? Because Jesus, he laid himself down freely for you and I. And here's where it gets good. We're gonna pick this back up. Verse 20, it says, because you just pray for the disciples, right? But here's where it makes a turn. It says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given to me to be where I am and to see my glory and the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. It's a lot of words, but Jesus said them, okay? So we need to listen to them, okay? Did you hear that, what he said in there? Jesus prayed for us. Hours before he's about to go to the cross, friends, he went to the cross with you in mind. We didn't exist yet. This is thousands of years ago. And he doesn't just pray for his disciples. He actually prays for the future church. It's the only place in scripture we see Jesus do this. But he prays for us. He actually prayed. He went to the cross saying, it's not just for these guys and gals that are following me, but it's for those who will believe in the message that they teach. And we are here today as a living testament. Jesus prayed for you and I. personally. It wasn't just like a sum all prayer, all y'all. It's like, no, he prayed for each and every one of you, saying, man, those who will believe in the message of disciples, we are that lineage here in this room today. And Jesus prayed for you. You were on his heart and mind as he went to the cross. Before he encountered all the horrors that he was going to do on our behalf, he thought about you and I. And what does he pray for us? It's interesting. He doesn't pray for us to have perfect theology or to be perfect prayer warriors or to have perfect servants or anything. He prays for us to be unified, that somehow in our unity and the way we love one another, it would be a representation to those around us, and it would be a representation of God and the Heavenly Father and Jesus' relationship. And I don't fully understand that or know how it fleshes out, but Jesus makes it really clear. He's really serious. He wants us to, and almost like he's saying, God, I want them to have what we got. I want them to experience you like how I experience you. God, I want them to see your glory. I want them to know everything about you like I know everything about you and how you know everything about me. That's Jesus. That's what he wants. His heart is for you this morning. He wants you to know the Father so much that he went to the cross so that you would have a pathway to relationship with him. Amen? That's who Jesus is. He prayed for us, and he prayed for us to be unified. He says, I want them to be where I'm at. I want them to experience all the glory that you've given me. I want them to experience the love that you've had for me since before creation. That's what I want for the future church. Friends, this in the room, however you got here this morning or online, whether it was by accident or you've been here a long time, that's what Jesus wants for you this morning. He wants that more than anything in the world, for you to know what it's like to be loved by the Heavenly Father. He doesn't want you to have a part of that. He wants you to have all of that. And that's who we celebrate this morning. So Jesus prayed for us. And that could be a good place to stop right there, right? Be like, cool, that's a good place. Let's just pack it up, Logan. I can go fishing earlier. This is awesome. You know, like John Oakland somewhere is like, that sounds great. Let's go. And I think that's kind of it. We read this prayer and like, cool, that sounds like Jesus. Jesus prays for people. Like, he prayed for me. I'm ready to roll, right? But that's not it. The story does not stop there. Jesus does far more than that. And I think it comes up in this question. And I don't know, I'm just like a weirdo and curious guy. Like, I just sit around thinking about things. But like, have you ever wondered, like, what is Jesus doing right now? Right? Because we think about that. Has anybody ever spent time? Who are the other deep theologian thought mind? Yeah, one person. I see. Thank you. Right? Like, because we see all the stories about what Jesus did, what he taught, all his character, his nature, and that's all good. Like, we should study that, right? That's a lifelong study there. But like, and then it seems like Jesus went, we know how the story plays out. He went to the cross for us. And then on the third day, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death forever. And it says that he went to prepare a place for us. And now it's like, what's Jesus doing right now? Is he just really bad at like creating a place for us? Like, what's going on? Where's Jesus? What's he up to right now? Is he just like twiddling his thumbs? No, we don't have to worry. It actually teaches us in scripture what Jesus is doing. And I think this is one of those areas of scripture that we often neglect. But if we understand it, we sit in it, we realize how sweet it is what Jesus is doing for us right now. There's two things I want to focus on today. First is this, Romans 8. Romans 8, if you're with me, you turn to Romans 8, 33 through 34. Paul writes it this way. He says, who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of the Father, and is this, he is interceding for us. A couple terms I want to think about this story. Think about in this. It says, who will bring charge? Who will condemn us? It says, no one, because you know what? Because it's God who justifies. The word justifies, I got taught in Sunday school. It was like, just if I'd never sinned. And that's still like stuck in my brain from my Peggy in my life, you know? But I remember that. But it's this idea of declaring one righteous. It's God that makes us righteous. It's nothing I do. It's nothing I can't earn. But God who makes us righteous. So if he makes us righteous, then who can bring any condemnation against us? No one. It's a rhetorical question. Then no one. Anybody who brings condemnation or guilt or shame against us, that doesn't hold up to Jesus what he's done, because he's declared us righteous. And it's because of the work of Jesus. Not only did he die for us, but he proved his power by being raised from the dead. That he actually conquered. He actually backed up. He was who he said he was. You know what I mean? That's who Jesus is. And did you hear this part? It says, now he's at the right hand of the Father. And what's he doing? He's interceding. And that's like a real churchy word right there. You're like, man, Logan's throwing out some big ones today. Interceding. But my intercessors are like, yes, I'm ready. Let's do this, right? Intercession. What does that mean? And interceding is simple. It's like a mediator between two parties. So it's us over here and we have God over here. And it says that Jesus is right in between there and that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf. Isn't that beautiful? It's not because God is distant from us, but it's through Jesus, through the cross, that he actually brings us to God. And he is constantly cheering us on and he is declaring what he has done for us, that constant forgiveness for our sins. And Jesus is interceding for our behalf ever since he has left. He doesn't get tired of it. He's always interceding on our behalf. Hebrews 7 says it this way, therefore he, meaning Jesus, is able to completely save those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. The person in this room right here this morning who thinks they cannot be completely saved, scripture says you're wrong. There's no amount of sin in your life that God cannot overcome. Jesus is able to completely save you, all of you, all your broken pieces, all those pieces we just talked about. He will make something beautiful out of those ashes. He can make a beautiful art piece out of your life if you allow him to. It says, for all those who come to God through Jesus. And right, it says, because he lives to intercede. It doesn't like he kind of has to. Not like, well, he's kind of, sort of, it's kind of an obligation. He lives for it. And he doesn't run out of time. Like, if I had to pray for you, I will run out of time. I'll be like, all right, Lord, let's wrap this up. You know what I mean? Like, and I'll run out of things to say. Jesus does not run out of things to say about you. It's not because you are awesome, but it's because he is awesome. Amen? He intercedes for you constantly. I'm not a mathematician by any stretch of the word, but from this to now, that's a long time, and he's still interceding for you. And if your life looks anything like mine, I got a long list of things that I need him to intercede for me. And he is constantly interceding for us. He's praying for us, friends. He's interceding for you. He does not tire of doing so. It's almost like intercession is a present reality of what Jesus did on the cross. It's like, it's not like he's like, oh yeah, I went to the cross. Yeah, I forgot about that. That was a long time ago. Like for Jesus, it's a constant thing. He's like, I love them just as much right now. I am so grateful I went to the cross for them right now. Heavenly Father, do you remember to see my hands? This is what I went from. That guy, you know, Logan right there, you know, he messed up a lot. Yeah, yeah, but I love him dearly. I loved him enough that I went to the cross for him. And I'm glad I did because he is my beloved. Friends, Jesus calls us brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's who we are. He looks at us, he's like an older brother cheering us on. That's who our Savior is. Jesus is pouring out his heart constantly before the Father. What an image for eternity. Jesus has been sitting, it's almost like he's got Jesus' ear, and he's like, you see them down there? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm nuts about that guy right there. That girl right there, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know she's not perfect, but you know what? She amazes me still. Man, God, can't you believe you made them in our image? What they have a purpose and value in this world, God, aren't they awesome? And it's not because we really are awesome, it's because of what he's done. And that blows my mind every time. He's interceding on our behalf, moment by moment, day by day, he's interceding on our behalf. Because you know what? Jesus didn't just like have to, like if your life was tomorrow, some of you guys are probably gonna make a mistake tomorrow, right? You're gonna have some sin in your life, probably me too. And that's why we need constant intercession, because it's an ongoing thing and Jesus is constantly, it doesn't mean that his work on the cross was not sufficient. Don't hear me in saying that, but it's just that he is constantly communicating to the Father. Just like what Brian said last week about how prayer is a relationship, it's a conversation. Jesus is having a conversation with our Heavenly Father on our behalf all the time. What a beautiful picture. So he's interceding, that's great. You're like, okay, Logan, you've nailed that home. Okay, what else? He's interceding for us, but he's also doing something else. 1 John 2 says it this way. My dear children, I write this to you that so you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. It makes it really clear. He's like, my hope is that you won't sin. I don't want you to continue sinning. But if you do, and everybody's like, phew, okay, you know. So it's not about perfection. He makes it very clear. But he's like, but if you do sin, guess what? You already have an advocate. It doesn't say you will have an advocate or you might have an advocate. It says you already have one. You have an advocate. And that's what Jesus is doing. So he's interceding and he's advocating. And the little bit of a difference here, you're like, was that just like a similar word? But parakletos, it's a Greek word. And Augustine, the best way he could describe it is it's an advocate. And that word, what it really means is for someone that actually in between that intercession, in that moment, Jesus comes to our side and he's actually on our side as he advocates on our behalf. Do you see the difference there? So there's this constant thing that Jesus is doing for us, but in those moments of great sin, those big uh-oh moments, Those big moments where you're like, man, there's no way God's gonna forgive me for this one. Anybody have one of those this week? That's the moments where Jesus loves to be our advocate. He's like, no, I'm on their team. I'm on their team. They're with me. It's like having the guy who's like the best hall pass for us. He's like, no, they get in with me. They're coming with me. It's like we have Team Jesus on our side. That's who Jesus is. He is our advocate. He advocates for our behalf. And you know what he advocates on? Based on his righteousness. It's not based on our merit or our goodness. It's not our life that he's looking at. He goes, you know, they're good because what I've done for them. Look at my scars. I've paid for them. They're with me. Friends, he is our intercessor and he is our advocate, and we need both. Because, you know, our lives is a constant, our church is called Journey Church, right? Because it's a journey of following Jesus faithfully. But there'll be moments where there will be sin that you will commit, big things. Maybe there's been sin even committed against you, brokenness in your life, and you're like, man, there's no way I can get over that hurdle. And you know what? Jesus in that moment says, yeah, absolutely, yes, you can because of me. He is our Savior fully and completely. I love that idea. It says, whoever comes to him, if anybody sins, not the ones he likes the most, there's not a hierarchy in Jesus' family. Anybody who comes to him, he will be their advocate. It's a proactive thing. God is an advocate. He's always ahead of the curve for us. John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, you might have known that book. You might run around. I know we got some people in here. Gene is one of his favorite books, one of our leaders. But John Bunyan, he wrote books on like one single verse. Isn't that pretty? Maybe he just had a lot of time on his hands. I don't know. But he would pick one verse and write a whole book about it. And he wrote this about this passage in 1 John 2. He said, Satan had the first word, but Christ had the last. Satan must be speechless after a plea of our advocate. Think about that. How about for you? When you find yourself broken in your sin, often there's a narrative that plays in your head, right? You're like, man, look at Logan. Look where he's at again. And it's almost like Satan's brings that condemnation and that shame and that guilt. And he brings all his stuff. And then Jesus, it seems like he steps up and he goes, yeah, but look at my hands and look what I've done. And it's almost like the enemy just has to go back and say, well, I got no rebuttal to that. And friends, that's who Jesus is. He's your advocate. He's your intercessor. And so simply put it this way, Jesus not only prayed for you, but he's praying for you now. I'll say it again. He didn't just pray for you one time, but he is praying for you right now, constantly in heaven, for every single one of us, for every single person online in this room, whether you just kind of stumbled in here and you think you're just trying to check this stuff out, if you got a lot of baggage or guilt or shame or sin, if you're like, man, I got too much, there's no way, and you're giving this Jesus thing a shot, Jesus is praying for you right now. He was praying for you to attend this morning. He was praying for you to listen to what he has to say. He wants you to hear his love for him. Garth Brooks says that he's got friends in low places. I want to tell you, you got a friend in a higher place, all right? And it's way better to have a friend in the higher place because he's at the right hand of the Father and he has his ear and he is constantly there on your behalf, amen? That's our Savior. As I was preparing this, like I honestly, like I don't know like how to even say this because I'm like, God, this is who you are and like you're big and it's like he doesn't run out of stuff to say. It's just who he is, right? That's who God is. And I'm like, how do I put this into practice and how does this make sense? And as most pastors do, they use their kids as illustrations, you know? So I have a picture of my son up here. That's my son, Forrest. If you know where this is, don't tell anybody, okay? If you don't know where this is, don't worry about it, okay? But that's my son. My wife and I, we take walks together a lot, and I was prepping for the sermon and thinking about it, and we take family walks, and we end up at this hoop a lot, and Forrest just turned one. He loves, I don't know if he really loves basketball. I want him to love basketball, but like he loves being around there. But you know, I'll shoot a few hoops and like, man, he just gets up and he giggles and he walks and he laughs and he just like, it's awesome. I mean, it's fantastic. Every time he has the same amount of joy on his face. And then last week he actually showed up, he actually built a new skill. Do you wanna see it? You wanna see it? Okay, I got a snapshot of it. Ready? Let's check it out. Look at that pass. Nice. I could have showed you clip after clip of me making shots, but just thought the Lord wanted me to be humble. No. No, so Forrest, like, he loves it now. Like, he, like, gets the ball and he gets all giddy, and now, like, he passes it to me. And I'm like, this is the best thing in the world. Like, I got a built-in rebounder for me now. And, like, and sometimes he'll just throw a different direction. I'm like, okay, I'm shooting over here now, you know? And, like, but it's awesome. And it's like God to do this, but it was almost like God just was like, hey, Logan, here's a great example. It's like a small picture of that relationship, right? Because I as a father, I love to, like, cheer him on. I love to share what he did good, right? Like, that's awesome. But he's also my boy, and no matter what he does, and he's going to let me down, he's going to fail me, and I'm going to fail him, but he's always my boy. And I love to cheer him on. You hear Kayla in the background, we're like, woo! You know, we're like whooping and hollering for him and stuff. But friends, that's who Jesus is. Like, he's sitting in heaven with his father and goes, man, I love them. I am so proud. I'm like, that's my boy. That's what Jesus is saying to us. He goes, man, I'm so glad I went to the cross for them. I don't go, gosh, man, I'm kind of regretting this thing, you know? Like, man, shouldn't they have got it by now? I went to the cross. Shouldn't they just fix themselves? No, he's going, man, I'm here for you. Like, I will always cheer for Forrest. And he's going to be an older brother, and I want him to cheer on his brother, right? That he will champion them. And friends, you have a heavenly father who's sitting here today. He says, whoever comes to him, he will do the same for you. Till he comes back and we return home with him. It's the best way I could describe it. I thought, man, as I'm just passing this ball and I'm just so excited about even just the little silliest thing, like that ball didn't go that far, but I'm ecstatic about it. And when we take those little steps of faith and follow and trust Jesus, he's like, that's it. You're doing it. That's it. Trust me. Return from your sin. You don't need that stuff. Follow me. Follow my voice. Follow my instruction. That's what Jesus is doing for you and I, friends, if we would allow him. He's not angry at you. He's not tired of you. He's not bored with you. He is a loving father who wants nothing more than to celebrate us, and he loves to pour out love on us. We've sung about that a lot this morning. But I think that's often not the case in our prayer life, is it? John Bunyan said it this way too. He said, they that are coming to Jesus Christ are oftentimes heartily afraid that Jesus Christ will not receive them. Because I think about my prayer life when my sin starts to stack up, that's when I'm distant from God. I think, oh, you know what? I got to get this figured out before he'll listen. So then I get in that rhythm of prayer where I'm like, okay, I got to get his attention. Like Forrest doesn't have to get my attention. He's got it. Like I'm there. I'm locked in with him. And I'm not a perfect dad, but our Heavenly Father, he's a perfect father, right? But I think oftentimes, as I've sat with people as a pastor, when I say, how's your prayer life? Oftentimes, there's just like, well, it's not as good as it could be, or I pray before a meal, or, you know, it's like, you know what? I don't think he's listening, or he's distant. And we come with this idea of like, God, I think he's going to reject me. Like, we come almost like afraid of him, that he doesn't, maybe he really won't hear me. But hear what John says in John's gospel. It says, all those who the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. That's the words of Jesus. All those that come to me, I will never drive away. And if you look at that in the Greek and the way it's written out, that the never turn away, it's like never, never, ever, ever. You know, like that's the best way to describe it. It's like, I will never, ever, ever turn you away. All we have to do is come to him. To bend a knee to Jesus and say, I want to follow you the rest of my life. And he said, I will never turn you away. No matter how many times he does not say, man, are you here again? I can't believe you're here again. No, that's not who Jesus is. He says, man, I'm so glad. He's the loving father and the prodigal son. He comes running out to us. He meets us where we're at. All we have to do is follow him. I want to close our time by sharing a quote from Dane Ortlund. He's a Wheaton grad, but he has this book called Gentle and Lowly. I've quoted this a couple times, and I will continue. Like, if you could buy one book and read this summer, I would encourage you to read this one. Dane Ortlund writes it this way. He says, he's quoting Louis Burkhoff, a theologian. He says, it is a consoling thought that Christ is praying for us, even when we are negligent in our prayer life. And this is how Dane puts it. Our prayer life stinks most of the time, but what if you heard Jesus praying aloud for you in the next room? Few things would calm us more deeply. Can you imagine that? Let's just be honest. Most of our prayer life has some work. I've never met one person who's like, yep, A+, 100%. No room to grow in my prayer life. Never met that person. If you're that person, come talk to me. Haven't met them. Haven't met them yet. I could learn from you, right? But there's this humble humility of we don't have to bring our perfection to Jesus. We bring where exactly where we're at. And you know what happens when I bring my stuff and I bring my brokenness? I'm not trying to self-defend or advocate. I don't need to self-advocate. I have an advocator. I have one who advocates for me fully, right? I don't have to come and be like, well, God, I kind of, and the what if, shoulda, coulda, wouldas. I don't have to do that. I can actually bring exactly where I'm at and say, God, this is where I'm at. You know what that is? That's a prayer. All of a sudden, I'm praying to God because I'm saying, God, this is who I really am, and this is my brokenness, and I need you to fix these things. And that's prayer at its essence, right? We come to God, and we bring who we are, and Jesus goes, man, I'm just so glad you're here. It's like an old friend when you catch up over a cup of coffee, and you sit with him, and man, I just want to hear about what's going on. I want to change those things. And so what I want to ask you, how would this change your approach to prayer? How would this change your approach to prayer if rather than thinking about, oh, I got to get to God, I got to get his attention, I need him to answer my things, I need him to listen to me, if we actually had this posture of like, man, before I ever utter one word to Jesus, he's been praying for me. He's been interceding for me. He's advocating for me. And he is my greatest champion. He is the one in my corner, the best person to have in my corner. How would this change your prayer life? Because I think we're going to spend a lot of time about how to pray and what that looks like and application. We're going to do a lot of that over the next few weeks. But if we don't start right here and say, man, and just sit in that and go, man, Jesus is praying for me. Like there's no number of words I can catch up and into prayers. Like he doesn't run out of time or energy or good things of love for us. He doesn't run out. And he's sitting with every single person in this room of mine. Because I think in my life, I get that mixed up. I'm like, oh, he's doing this for everybody. Like he kind of has to throw a prayer. And Logan, and Lord, you know, lift up Logan. You know him. You know where he's at. No, we're not like a catch-all in a prayer. We're not part of some formula to save the world. He went to the cross with each one of us in mind. He can hold that tension. He can hold that ability for us that he goes with you and I in mind individually. He knows the things in your heart. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to end this time. You know, when I'm up here, I'm going to make you do something, okay? So get ready. But I want us to do this, and we're going to have to use our imagination. So our kids, the adults need your help, okay? Because adults, we're not good at imagination, okay? So everybody who's sixth grade and older or in that middle school, high school age, can you help us here a little bit? But I want you to do something for me. I want you to try to put yourself in that image of Jesus praying for you. Okay, we're gonna sit in this for a few minutes. It might be uncomfortable. I'm okay with that. Because I think we rush for it. And we just tell God stuff all the time. We pray at him all the time. But I want us to sit in this for a moment and actually imagine what is Jesus praying for me right now? So this is what we're gonna do. Can everybody bow their heads for me real quick? Everybody bow their heads. No one's looking around. And however you get comfortable, I just want you to imagine Jesus praying for you. Imagine the things. He knows everything about you. He created you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows what's going on in your life. Imagine how does Jesus sound? Like, what's his voice sound like as he's praying for you? And friends, just to clarify, if you hear a voice that sounds like, man, if you imagine Jesus in your head is like, he's angry or yelling at you or he's disappointed, that's not God. If that's what comes to mind, that's not who Jesus is. That's not what scripture backs up. How does Jesus speak about you? Like, do you feel his affection for you? Don't run from this. Don't push out of this. Don't be like, man, I just need to go eat lunch. Think about it. Jesus right now is in heaven praying for each one of us in this room. He knows the things that weigh your heart. He knows for the parent in this room that your kid has walked away from the Lord. He is praying for them. For this person in the room who's dealing with a hidden addiction, he's praying that, God, would they stop hiding? They don't need to run. The person in this room that just barely hang on to faith, he's just saying, God, I'm just at their heart, knock on the door. Would they just open the door? My prayer is that we'd hear God clear. What is Jesus saying to you this morning? He's praying for you. He's going to pray for you when we leave this room. He's with you in your week. Whatever comes Monday through Saturday, he's there. Heavenly Father, as we close our time together today, I just want to thank you for my friends. I know it's hard. It's hard to slow down and turn off our voice and listen to you. It's really hard. It's really hard to listen to you because you know what? We're just so used to talking too much. And Lord, I confess that's me. But God, I pray as we leave this place that we would actually hear your voice more. Because God, you are not a God who is angry and mad at us, but you actually made a way for us to have right relationship with you. Your word says you want us to have everything that you and the Father have. I don't know how that works out, but I want it. I want that, God. I want to know you like that. So God, as we leave this place where we just, we need to bring our prayers to you. We need to bring the things of our heart. But God, would I come with a posture knowing, God, you are already praying for me. How freeing, how refreshing is that? Because I can just bring you exactly where you're at, because you know. You know where I'm at. You know what my week looks like. So now I don't have to like have the right words. I don't have the right verses. I can just say, God, here I am. And you say, I'm glad you're home. Amen.